This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Staub Audio Engineering. If you have listened to any of the episodes, you have undoubtedly heard me talk about Mike and the phenomenal audio engineering work that he does. His mixes and masters are truly some of the best that I've ever heard. I love working with Mike on all of our Dreamfield tunes, on all of our Summit One tunes. He is an absolute wizard. Make sure to hit him up, inquire about mixing and mastering prices, and take your tracks to the next level. Oh, yeah. And Mike is also one of the nicest, kindest human beings you'll ever meet. Definitely hit him up and work with him.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of the producers, artists, and creators that are tuning into the show. My name is Cody Christensen, and you are listening to the Chilled Samples Podcast.
Welcome back to the podcast, my friend. I am stoked to have you on. I know we it's going to be a shorter episode today, so we're going to do our best to fit everything in, man. And I was re-listening through our first episode, and it got me. It reminded me of how incredible of a story your artist journey has been thus far. So I'm truly stoked to catch up with you. And Steve, how is everything going, my friend?
It's going pretty well, man. I'm pretty stoked to be on your show as well and to have another chat with you. Everything is going well. Right now, I'm in vacation in Portugal, enjoying the sun, doing a bit of surfing. I worked on some project recently, like the library that we're going to talk about that I've sent you, and a few other music projects, basically.
Awesome, man. Well, and it's and you're still designing sounds for video games, correct?
Yes, I am. I'm still in the video game industry and just juggling the music with that, and still the same.
Yeah, awesome, man. Well, let's dive into the sample pack, because I'm grateful that you sent it to me and you let me mess around with it, and I can't talk highly enough about it, because it is such a wonderful design pack, and especially the loops, man. The loop. Well, I guess one. Let me start off with saying I love the continuity between all of the samples. Like, sometimes you can get a sample pack and the levels aren't always consistent and the same, but I can tell that you put a lot of care and intentionality into the processing of these samples, which is of course super important. Just being able to grab a loop or a sample and to know that it's going to be high quality, that's going to fit into the mix. And your selection of percussive instruments to utilize and to combine as loops, in which I also love that. Yeah. in the unique loops, I love that you included the actual instruments that comprise the loop. I thought that was such a genius way to do it. And man, I'm so stoked to continue to utilize these in my lo-fi beats, but also in my like dubstep and hybrid trap productions. Like, there's I'm not sure if you're a cool Skrillex fan, but I am, and his newest albums, they use a lot of different ethnic percussions and percussion loops, and I think I'm going to be able to find a lot of awesome use for these loops, man. So Steven, thank you for creating that. I guess what made you decide to create a sample pack? And then walk us through the actual creation of this pack, because as a sample pack creator myself, I know how involved of a process it can truly be.
Yeah, and first of all, I remember you sent me your packs, and it was pretty cool. I love your birds ambience. That was really nice, man.
Thanks, man.
But yeah, regarding the pack, it's mostly like for producers, because what I've done is throughout the years, I've kind of accumulated these percussions, and I just wanted to make at some point some loops for myself. That was the original idea of the pack. And after that, I give myself like a little challenge for like a year and a half. I just wanted to make one loop per day. Mm. That was just an exercise. But the goal of that was just to record everything. I didn't want to use something from another pack. I wanted to have my own stuff so that I can have like a bit of freshness and originality in the productions. So, you know, I started buying a bongos, like djembe, kashishis, like all those kind of percussions that I was enjoying because I listened to a lot of samba, to African music, and I noticed a bit like the way they were building their, just like the drum layers. So what I did basically is just to kind of try to reproduce sometimes a bit of like specific rhythm for a genre. But you know, like as lo-fi producers or as hip-hop producers or whatever genre, basically you can mix up so many different styles to make your own track. So the idea was just to have something that I could use myself that with quality. I spent, as you said, a lot of time on the volumes just to make it really consistent throughout the loops. And the loops are also made of layers, and I gave all the layers. So you can, if you want, take a tempo. You have the layers of one loop, and you can mix them up with another loop from the same tempo. So you have another loop, mm-hmm. per se, if you go into that direction. But that was the main idea of this pack, basically.
Wow. Well, Steve, and I love what you did with being able to pull out different layers from the loop. And I'm not a math guy, so I'm the wrong person to try and figure out this the answer to this. But I wonder how many possibilities there would be to create new loops from those layers. That'd be a fun math problem for somebody to try to figure out.
A couple, for sure.
Because I'm sure it's a lot, man. I'm sure it's a lot. But what an incredible challenge to put on yourself to create one loop per day, especially to utilize in your own productions. And at what point in the process did you decide, like, hey, maybe I'm making this sample pack for myself, but maybe I can create it for other producers as well. Like when did that that flip happen?
So basically, I was making those beats with a friend of mine called Lunat. He's also like a lo-fi producer, but it touches like other genre in the music he's making. And we were like, okay, we made those loops for this song, so. He told me maybe we can extend it and I can participate in it. I asked for his participation because he was a drummer and he's still a drummer. So I asked him, okay, give me like a few loops you do on your end and I'll make some stuff on my end. And I try at the end to combine the elements that we recorded. But also at some point there was another guy that I knew that was making beatbox. So I told him, like, could you give me a few tempo just go crazy, like make all those sounds with your mouth and I will integrate it in my final product.
Yep.
So the commercialization of this was mainly, you know, like just I accumulated so much stuff like loops and after I started dividing that into one shots. And I was at like 400 plus one shots overall. So I was like, okay, I think I could just like craft a sample pack with my name on it and with my friend. And shout out to Lunat and Nicolas Chatelain, who is the beatbox guy on this, because they contributed like to the stuff and they did like very well. And you know, like, so that was the idea. And I just finished the volume 2 actually. So. What? Now I've done the full circle of it, and on the volume 2 I'm using like other percussions, still a few from the volume 1, but I try to go a bit somewhere else. So yeah, that was the idea of accumulating so much stuff that at the end you can just make a sample pack, basically.
Oh, that's awesome, Steve. And so, Steve, coming from a producer perspective, kind of walk us through like your feelings of producing like an EP or an album and how that compares or differs from creating a sample pack.
That's a very good question. Well, you know, I think sample pack is about consistency, like, and trying to find ideas of, like, because you start from nothing. You have no loops. You just have, like, a bunch of percussion stuff on your desk, and you just need to find ideas. And you don't have any melodies, which can be a bit problematic, because working with just percussions, you know that you... On my end, I never quantize stuff. I leave the stuff a bit off, not too much, but just because you need that human feel in the loops. I do the same with an EP, but an EP, usually I kind of like base myself a lot on the melodies. I sometimes start with drum, but once I put my hands on a keyboard or just take a guitar, the melody would drive the kind of direction of the drums. Whereas on this sample pack, you know, it's really about finding the inspiration. And some days, man, I was like, I had no idea. Like, it was, I was pissed on myself because I was like, okay, today is not a good day. I have nothing. I'll just forget about it and start another day. There's no problem about that. It's just like inspiration. It's like waves of, you know, inspiration. But yeah, I think the melody is an important thing for an EP. And once you have like a sketch with a melody, you can easily like craft songs. But I found out that sample pack is different. It's another approach. You need to find like those kind of creative drums that could work for many songs. Yeah. So it takes more time on my end because I was new to it, you know.
Yeah, well, it takes more time, and it's a weirder process, man. Like when you're, just like you said, when you're creating a song, like you know what you're trying to create. And I know for me, like when I first made my sample packs, and I went up into the mountains and started recording sounds, it was like it felt so weird. It was like, wow, this is a completely new creative process for me. But I grew as an artist from that process of trying to think about the individual one shots of sounds that would then go in to create a song, or as just like you were saying, like even thinking about it, like making sure that it's quality for another producer to be able to use. And it's fun to put on that weird hat and to make a sample pack. And Steve, what's your plan? Where are you going to be selling both volume one and volume two?
I have like a Shopify kind of shop for my artist name, so I'll be selling the packs on that, and I also have like kind of many friends. I can say their names, like that made beats for me. I just like send them the pack and I ask them, can you make like a short beat, 1 minute of it. So I've got like a couple of friends such as Saïb, Landesi, Jamadict,
nice.
Lunat as well, that we made a beat together actually, because we all used to work together. So yeah, all those homies that kind of made some pretty cool stuff, and also a friend from Montreal, Blazino. I mean, shouldn't forget his name. So yeah, and basically I'm just going to push it on Instagram and it will be a link direct on my Shopify and you can just buy it basically.
Awesome. And Steve, I'll make sure to put that link in the description of this episode, so anybody listening right now can just pull out their phone and click through.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, of course, dude. And Steve, have you heard about Clover Records' new project, Fader?
No, I didn't.
So it's something to consider, and I think they launched... it was probably like a month and a half ago or a month ago, but it's essentially, it's a site for artists to sell sample packs, lo-fi artists in particular. So I know that, I think Gosan was the first, and then Steezy Prime, and then myself. But the cool thing about Fader is it's non-exclusive. So you can have your pack on your site specifically, but then you can also create a profile with them. And they take a cut from anything that's sold on their site, but it's non-exclusive. So you can still do whatever you want with your pack. So definitely worth checking out because it is a cool opportunity.
I will, for sure.
Because that's, you know, thanks I've... for the tip. Of course, man. Yeah, I have packs on my site, but then I also have the packs on their side as well, since they have a different audience. So, yeah, definitely something to consider. And we actually, I recorded an episode with Lo-Fi Luke. Let me just see. It's episode 93. If you want to listen to it and see what it's all about, but yeah, man,
okay,
that could
cool.
be
already done.
Yeah, that could Thanks. Be that could be an additional avenue to drive some traffic to your pack. And once again, I'm stoked to keep using it, and I'm stoked to hear what you do with Volume 2, because it's definitely a unique pack. And like I said, like I'm stoked. Of course, for Lo-Fi Beats, I'm excited to work on it, but more, I think I'm even more excited to utilize these percussion sounds in my heavy electronic tunes to help emulate my favorite producer, Skrillex. And so I was definitely hearing that as soon as I was clicking through the samples, I was like, ooh, I'm excited to get to work on these. So wonderful job.
Yeah. Thank you.
Of course, man. Well, and so, Steve, I remember last time we talked a lot about the balance of your full-time career, your music, but then your health. And you know, yes. like being able to surf. And so over the past year since we last spoke, have there been any significant changes in the way that you've been able to balance all of these different projects and aspects of your life?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's always like tough, you know, like when you have like a job and you want to do music, it's always like trying to find those moments. And you have life outside of music with your partner and, you know, life in general. But yeah, like I didn't really change stuff on my end this year, but I tried to find like a different routine. I still do music like consistently. What I do is like I do my day with the work. It's usually starting at 8, I'm starting early in the morning. And then I do my day job like until 5. And after that, I have like some practice time for my music during the week. And I have 2 days where I do some production. It's Tuesday and Thursday. That's why I produce. I take it like from 6 to 9:30, 10 on the evening. And I take one weekend off, and the other weekend I work on Saturdays on the beats. Mm-hmm. But I take Sunday out too. So, and I think it's pretty good for me right now. It works. I do my training in the morning too. Like I wake up like at 6. I do my kind of. I do intermittent fasting. Maybe you know about that.
Yes.
I don't eat until pretty much 10:30, and I do my training. I take a really cold shower. I start doing that like pretty consistently, and after I do intermittent fasting till 10:30, and I eat at something at 11. And then I jump back on my work.
Yeah,
that's pretty much.
Yeah, well, and Steve, it's it definitely sounds like your routine is dialed, and especially when you're looking at it almost from like a bi-weekly perspective, and especially with the balancing a full-time gig, like I think that's the only way to be able to make all of your other projects happen is to have that dedicated time.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, well, and I also do intermittent fasting, typically a 16-hour fast, and I think I've done that probably 3 years at this point. And I actually, most of my
nice.
Running, yeah, I get in a lot of miles. Typically, I'm typically running at like 10 a.m. And most of my runs are fasted. Even if I'm doing like a half marathon distance, I do it fasted. And like yesterday I ran, it was a 13-mile run up in the mountains. And I had liquid IV. I had sugar on me just in case I was going to crash. Cause it, you know, I think
okay. That was my question. Cause I was curious about running. I've never done like, to that extreme, like doing marathons, like and fasting, but yeah, you do have like some kind of, I guess, sugar on you just in case to have a bit of fuel.
Just in case. So if I'm running, well, so when I wake up, before I drink any coffee, I drink water and then Himalayan salt. And so mixing in the Himalayan salt with the water allows me to get hydrated and to boost my electrolytes without breaking my fast. And so I do that. And then for my runs, I typically don't have a backup on me if I'm running somewhere from my house. But like yesterday I was up in the mountains and I'm by myself. And so having an electrolyte drink, having a sugary drink ready to go, I think is important just from a safety perspective. Just from a safety perspective. And at the top, and I think there was 2,500. There was 2,500 feet of elevation gain. And so in like the last mile of my climb up, I was starting to feel it, and I was debating. I was like, maybe I can take it. And I was like, no, let's keep pushing. And so I did. And I never felt lightheaded, but I also know my body pretty well, and I put in a ton of miles. So I trust myself with doing that. So, but Steve, something that you do is the cold shower, and that's something I haven't implemented yet. I haven't implemented ice baths or cold showers, and it's so funny how scared I am of the cold, but I've had enough people tell me that all of the benefits from doing it, so I know I need to eventually. But when did you start implementing cold showers?
I did it like early in the year. I think it was March when I started that, and basically I did like a few tryouts because Canadian winter is already cold. So if you take a cold shower in a Canadian winter, it's pretty rough, to be honest. So I started like slowly with that, and I just realized that it was helping me a bit. I felt good after that. I don't know, it's kind of refreshing your brain in some ways. So, I had a few fails at the beginning. I was like, whoa, what the fuck am I doing? It's really cold, man. It's already cold outside. What am I doing that? But and after that, April, May was good. And now I'm doing it, and it's really nice. It's just, not too much. Like I do maybe 20 seconds, 25 seconds. And each day you do that, I think you need to do like something like 1 minute and a half during your week, something like that total. And you feel good, I feel good, and I can still do it right now. But we'll see next winter. We can do another interview and I tell you if it's okay.
Yeah, and Steve, I feel the same way, man. So I, from October until March, like 80 to 90% of my runs are, and that's 5 days a week. It's below freezing outside. And so when I come in, the last thing I want to do is take a cold shower, right? It's like, man, I just spent an hour or 2 hours like out in the freezing cold. It's, I relish that.
I feel you, man.
that warm shower. So I feel you there, man. And Steve, I know we're on a time crunch, dude. So I'm going to let you get back to enjoying your holiday and catching some waves and enjoying your time in Portugal. And Steve, I can't thank you enough for coming back on the podcast, man. I can't thank you enough for creating a killer sample pack. And I'm excited to continue to use it in my own productions and to hear what everybody else does with the samples that you created. So Steve, thanks again, man.
Hey, Cody, thanks a lot, man, for the invitation. And I'll send you the next one when it's ready. It's going to be soon. So,
awesome.
And yeah, I'm super excited to share this to the other producers and friends and et cetera.
Awesome. Thank you, Steve. Everybody tuning in, click the link in the bio and go download this pack. And as always, thanks for listening, support, and much love. Peace.